The Noon Lunch Hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
When did Tim Benz live in? Was it Salt Lake or Provo? Where did you live, Tim?
I lived in Salt Lake, real close to the old Delta Center. Sorry, the old, yeah, the Delta Center, near the airport.
And how close was your location to the Utah campus and the BYU campus?
BYU was a little further away. BYU was like, Provo was about, 45 minutes away or something? And the U was on the other side of the city. So okay. I wasn't particularly close to either, but much closer to the University of Utah than Provo.
Okay, well, the news yesterday, and you could speak to this rivalry, Utah and BYU. The Utah Utes decided to bail out of their yearly basketball meeting, which, will they play it in the big arena in Salt Lake? Is that where they had they were having the games every year?
Yeah, according to this, they were playing at the Marriott Center. Now, when I was there, they were both in the same conference still.
Oh.
So they would, play one on each team's home court.
Okay. And it was a fierce rivalry, right? And in fact, the last one of these games, there was a player that punched another player last month at the Huntsman Center. Utah won the game over BYU, 83-75. But, there was a punch. And the excuse that Utah is using, it that they're breaking the annual matchup next year, is that the level of emotions have escalated to the point where the potential for serious injury is prevalent. That's according to the Utah AD, I guess. BYU's ticked off. Utah's got to pay $80,000 to get out of it, guy. And BYU's saying they're scared of us. It's too much of a risk for them to lose a game to us. They don't want to play us anymore.
So you get what's the record between the two the last 10 years? Do you have that there?
I don't. They've played every year since 1909.
Has BYU kicked their ass lately?
BYU leads the series 129-128.
Oh.
Holy cow, that's a lot.
So that tells me right off the bat that they're not afraid to play them.
That it's even.
Yeah.
Well, that's over a long time. I don't know about recent.
Yeah, you know what? And Utah should be the more confident team when it comes to what their program is like. Utah has been really good more recently. BYU had its moments with Jimmer, I guess. But, Utah is now in the Pac-12, so that should help them a great deal.
It strikes me as BYU needs the game more than Utah does, and they're saying they're afraid of them. That's why they don't want to play them, which sounds ridiculous.
Well, to you, that sounds like Pitt versus Penn State, right?
Well, Pitt and Penn State never had any, fighting or any reason to say it could be dangerous or cancel the game, but...
But the thing about
I never heard people say Penn State was afraid to play them, especially when you look at Paterno's record against Pitt. I mean, he dominated them 28-7 or whatever it was. It's similar numbers to that, so that couldn't have been a reason.
Yeah,
the accusation was more that he was doing it to be spiteful.
Right, he held a grudge, right, for the lack of the conference togetherness. Didn't Paterno say he wanted to play him every year or something? And
well, they came up with they wanted to play two up there, one here or something to make the money. And, and Penn State people would say, well, geez, the all-time series, they played in Pittsburgh a million times, not up there. And Beano would always say, well, that's because they wanted to play the games at Forbes Field and at Pitt Stadium because Beaver Stadium was smaller then and they could make more money. That wasn't, So, I mean, all that backbiting stuff goes back and forth. I think it's unfair from the Pitt perspective to say, well, we voted you out. We didn't want you in the Big East. We didn't want your all-purpose Eastern Athletic Conference. We shut you out of there. Now you're spiteful and you won't play us in football. Well, how can you control one situation and when they have control of the other and they bite back, he's being spiteful? You just let Pitt shit on you and then say, okay, that's okay. We'll still come and play you to help pump up your attendance and help you make money when you shut us out of the conference that I thought up or that I would have liked to have seen the Syracuse and the Pitts and the West Virginias participate in. I don't think that's fair.
Well, the Utah message boards, Tim, are saying, like, their fans of theirs are saying, BYU's not worth it. We don't want to play sucker punch college. We'd rather get somebody better on our schedule. You know, and BYU's saying they're afraid of us. So you get, it's some of the similar themes, not quite, I guess, than the Pitt Penn State's dealing with. Unless there were some Pitt fans that were accusing Penn State of being scared of playing them. But
I never heard that, and there would be nothing to back that up because
that
series was so lopsided at the time it ended, it wasn't funny.
Here's the complaint that I'd bring up if I'm a Utah fan for Utah pulling out, which is who else are you going to schedule that is going to be worth my while to go to, similar to what we just talked about earlier this week and even last week with the University of Pittsburgh basketball program?
Yeah,
it is hard enough to get a good out-of-conference game for your football team in some of these situations. Your basketball team, you have more cracks to do it, and still teams won't do it. So if I'm Utah and I'm losing BYU off of my schedule, who are you going to give me that's going to keep me entertained until the Pac-12 season starts?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, I see, you know, on this message board, somebody...
Where's
one guy
Utah
saying,
State? Is that a rivalry at all? I mean,
Yeah, sure.
That's exactly it.
Do they play each other?
Yeah, they usually do. They had in the past, and Utah State can be good. In fact, oftentimes Utah State is good. I don't know what they were last year, but...
How far apart are they geographically?
Utah, it's more... that's a good question. If I remember right, it's less of a drive to Utah State, I think.
Fan is saying we can put Utah State back or Weber State. Those don't sound exciting to me, but I don't know. Maybe they're
Weber. Now Weber's definitely closer.
They make the NCAA tournament now and then, right?
Utah State might be further away than Provo. I'm trying to remember, but I do remember going to Weber for a game. I don't think I went to Utah State for a game.
The thing about basketball is, though, even if you lose a good rival, there are enough games on the schedule that you're going to – football is such a small schedule that if you lose a game that everybody cares about, it hurts more because you're not going to replace it with anything as exciting. One, even if it's a good non-conference basketball rivalry and you lose it, there's still enough games on the schedule to make up.
But here's the point to Utah. They should be playing Weber and Utah State all the time, every year, anyway.
As Pitt should be playing West Virginia.
Right, and as Syracuse should still find a way to get the Georgetowns and the UConns and the St. John's is on their schedule. There's plenty of time to get two or three really good rivalry, not in your conference games, on the schedule. You can do it.
Do you think Jamie Dixon fears West Virginia? Is that an accusation from Mountaineer fans? Is that... Or why did that rivalry quit after the
Why Big
should
East one split? Fear the other? One's in the ACC, the other one's in the Big 12.
Well, you know how Jamie schedules. He wants to build up a 13-1 going into the conference season.
Well, first of all, that seemed to be more a Luck and Peterson thing than a Jamie Dixon. You know, he's got a say in it, obviously, but the athletic directors didn't seem to want to work together there, whether it was football or basketball.
Now, who wanted the rivalry to die between Penn State and Pitt when it came to hoops? Pitt did, right? Pitt didn't want to bother playing Penn State in basketball?
I'm not sure. Pitt
that's been back for
thought
a while
that
now.
Their basketball program was too poor to join the Big East.
No, I mean now, like lately.
Yeah, I'm not sure who backed out of that.
And that's more of a Pitt thing, right? Because that was one of those Jamie didn't want to go on the road and play a conference team, even if it was Penn State, who's not that good in the Big Ten. Right?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, there is more to lose there for the better team, for the better program. It's a more of a risk than a reward for Jamie to play.
And they weren't getting the bang for their buck of Penn State coming here and beating them because they had a low RPI, or they would have a low RPI.
Yeah.
But isn't it, I don't know. I mean,
we've discussed before that they have managed, they build their RPI up by getting top teams from smaller conferences to come and play them.
Yeah, they'll get.
And then the RPI gets built up, but it's still not the risk that it would be to get even a mid-range team from a large conference to come in.
Like, they'll get Montana or Montana State out of the Big Sky if they had won the Big Sky the year before, right? You know, they'll get like the best, the second best team of the Big Sky, the Big South, you know, and get those. But my frustration when it comes to college basketball scheduling is, you know, especially with the way things have been broken up, you've broken up so many natural rivalries in recent years. Utah BYU is a great example for not only basketball but football, that you can't bank on it every year. You have to schedule it in now because you're no longer in the conference. The Big East ACC stuff, this is an opportunity for these schools to help your own RPI and give your fans a little something for sticking with you and going to your games before the conference season starts. You know, like Syracuse should be playing St. John's or Seton Hall or Xavier or Villanova. You can make this happen. You can make it work.
You've been on the BYU campus, Tim?
I have, a couple times.
Is what's it like? Is it
quiet?
Are most of the students there Mormon?
Oh,
I mean,
because
you have Catholic universities, and half the students there are not Catholic.
Right. No, it's much more religiously representative.
It is. Okay.
Now, there's a ton of Mormon kids that go to Utah, but it is looked upon. What's the word I'm looking for? It's less parochial by far, and there's not the religious influence that there is for BYU.
Now, while we're on bonus time here, Junker bonus time here in the noon hour. How about this coming from Cincinnati? We've got a radio spoof on 700 WLW. Familiar with that station?
Yeah.
The big one, I think it is, out there. Used to carry the Reds games. I'm not sure they do anymore.
Is that the one Eddie Crow worked for?
Did he really? I didn't know Eddie worked there.
Eddie worked in Cincinnati. Where he worked with Chris Collinsworth.
All right. This is a spoof warning that they've been running, and they plan to keep running through the weekend. I see this on TMZ.com. And it reads, the Steelers quarterback has been spotted in downtown Cincinnati. All females ages 18 to 40 are to use extreme caution, especially if heavily consuming alcohol. Males should also be on the lookout just in case. If you see Big Ben and he flashes Little Ben, you are asked to report it to authorities immediately. There are more warnings that go on throughout this, especially for chicks with boob jobs. So, is this over the line in terms of radio spoofage? This is going to be a big story here today as this starts going on. Now, there have been a lot of wacky radio promotions through the years, and, you know, I'm all for getting a laugh. This, they don't name him, you know, I would imagine Roethlisberger is never mentioned directly in this, but could there be a defamation of character sort of thing here filed by Roethlisberger and something like this? Would he even bother to...
Public figures have such a hard time. He'd have to prove, as I understand it, that he lost something out of it.
Right. How do you prove that?
How do you prove that?
What do you think about this, Tim?
Well, I think it's...
involved in a lot of wacky...
I think it's completely unfair because, to the best of my recollection, the woman from Nevada neither had a boob job nor was 40. So...
Oh, it says 18 to 40.
That's a little bit closer to the girl in Milledgeville, I guess.
Well, okay, was she over 40?
I don't think the other one was over 40. Mm. What was my reaction to it? My reaction to it is it's an obvious cheap shot. Mm-hmm. My reaction to it is if it happens to your own guy, then you go up in arms and you are outraged by it, or you feign outraged by it. Look, and I went through a lot of this in New England when I was covering Deflategate, and I would be critical of the Patriots and Deflategate. Oh, your quarterback's a rapist! Where do you get off saying this? You got a rapist quarterback! You know, that's what I would get back all the time. But in both cases, Patriots fans and Steeler fans alike were very quick to call Ray Lewis a murderer. And I've probably done it a million times since then. So when we talk about defamation, when we talk about how liberal we are in our usage of words to describe people, you know, we all the time refer to Ray Lewis as a murderer, even though he didn't get convicted of murder. You know, we all the time, though, defend Roethlisberger and say, look, he never even got charged.
I would imagine Steelers fans have heard much worse than this since Milledgeville. And, you know, there's not going to be...
Yeah, but I'm just surprised. That seems so long... Look, I mean, the stuff was there, and he's never going to completely be able to live it. But his life has changed so much, really. It just seems like really looking for something. You know what I mean?
They're getting us to talk about it, and it's a radio station. And as we know, radio's every media entity is a wonky industry at this point. So you get clicks, you get listens, whatever. As long as it's legal, and I guess you're right. It would be awful hard to prove this or be worth your while and anguish to take this to court.
One thing I'd like to just sort of
throw
out there.
If Ben was doing commercials for somebody and they suddenly dropped them over this, then maybe he'd have a case.
You know, Cincinnati's not that far from Oxford. You know, what do people at Miami of Ohio, what does that fan base think about it? You know?
That's true.
Stan went to Miami of Ohio and he was always going to Reds games when he was in college. Because of how close it is.
You know, it's a cheap shot. Are you asking Kenneth to, like, motivate him or get under his skin? Or?
Well, I was thinking more of, like, have we ever seen this in Pittsburgh for a Ray Lewis situation, for a rival from another town? I guess you're right, Tim. I guess we probably have talked about Ray Lewis that way, as if he is guilty of murder. And some believe he still is. So
I remember doing a Halloween show at the Hard Rock Cafe. I wanted to give the person the award for this, for the best costume. They showed up. It was a couple years after the fact, but it was still funny. They showed up in a Ray Lewis white suit with a Ray Lewis jersey, blood all over the white suit.
What about, remember in Tennessee, they had the Tommy Maddox on a gurney or whatever? Remember he got hit in the head and was down, and they had to take him off the field?
Yeah, and then they went back and played there again, right?
And yeah, they had somebody dressed, one of the fans was dressed up as like Tommy Maddox in the gurney, and they were bringing him down, and that got people outraged.
Yeah, and that's just unfair, because he got hurt, you know?
He
went numb. He got a really, really bad stinger, I guess is basically what that ended up being, right?
Yeah, they were worried about paralysis. I mean, I remember...
It was not like he was exaggerating or anything. He couldn't move. You know, he had momentary nerve damage. Now, I'll give you another one. I just happened to see this one on a 30 for 30. Like the Nebraska fans making fun of Salinesi, the quarterback that died.
Yeah.
Where's Sal now? You know, like during the season where Colorado was playing on his behalf because he had died earlier in the season. Because Sal had played great against them the year before. Where's Sal now? Somebody was holding a sign. So, yeah, I mean, everybody gets dirty when you're anonymous. And to Roethlisberger, you know, the guys at WLW, they're probably anonymous to him.
Hey, Philadelphia fans, when Michael Irvin looked like he could be paralyzed.
Hey, I got to say something here, just sort of off the, since we brought up college basketball, I'm watching this and I can't make all of it out. But isn't it ironic to you that the NCAA suspended Jim Boeheim for all those games, said he couldn't have any contact whatsoever with his players, and now ESPN is running a bit where Boeheim is sitting down with Billis as they watch the Miami game together? Does that seem like capitalizing on something that you've... Like, ESPN is a broadcast entity for the NCAA, correct?
Did they break the story or no? They didn't.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, you know, the NCAA is partnered with ESPN for college basketball games, right? Okay. So you've got Boeheim sitting out for an NCAA penalty, and you're capitalizing on that by having one of your color analysts watch the game with him? Doesn't that these charges, these things that he did are so distasteful that you had to take him away from the game. Now you're capitalizing on it by turning it into a watch on SportsCenter?
You know how that is, though. Nobody from ESPN in a position of power cares what the NCAA thinks about that. They're just looking to, as you say,
like, I don't know why Boeheim would do it. If I was Boeheim, I wouldn't have done it. I think that looks bad, but...
Well, he maintains his innocence, doesn't he? So he probably doesn't care. He wants to be out in public. He wants to be defiant.
Well, I'm dying to hear this.
When
now,
was this game played?
This was
Wednesday.
No. This was Saturday of last week.
Oh,
but he's set to come back Saturday against North Carolina, which is why they're doing this
on ESPN.
On ESPN, yeah.
I wonder what the backlash from WLW will be. I mean, it's no matter what you think of this Ben thing that they're doing. It's not classy. It's going to bring you attention, good and bad. Good from, I guess, your market for the most part. But I imagine a ton of Steelers fans, et cetera, will be calling the station, writing the station, whatever they can do here to respond to this ad here in the next couple of days. The decision.
They keep playing this over and over, did you say?
I guess they said they keep TMZ reports they plan to keep running it through the weekend. So.
Oh, so it's a spot that plays here and there.
Right, like a little bit, like a morning show. This morning
zoo. Those wacky, zany morning zoo guys in Cincinnati.
Now, the response from Pittsburgh, they're not going to give a shit about. What they might get persnickety about is if there are women's groups in Cincinnati or Southern Ohio or whatever, Northern Kentucky.
Making light of rape or something like that.
So rape's funny? That's basically what they'll be saying. So rape is ha-ha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a great bonus half hour for Gee Junk Air. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy. You guys enjoy the football. I know I will. And plus hockey and basketball. It's a chock-full weekend of action.
That's true. Penguins-Canadiens tomorrow night. Michel Therrien and the boys. I believe Therrien announced that Carey Price is getting close. I'm not sure if he's going to play tomorrow night.
How am I going to watch the Boeheim return game and the wild card game at the same time? How am I going to do that? DVR the Carolina game and go home and watch it at 2 o'clock in the morning?
My God, they're not that good. Why would you even consider that?
Well, it's the Boeheim return game. I got to see, you know, after what he's learned from the great Jay Billis watching.
Watch the one you're emotionally vested in live.
No, I can't do that. But I'm never going to be able to catch up on the game for the post-game show. Like, I won't have time.
Because
they tip off at 8. I'm screwed.
You're screwed, Tim. Steelers Radio Network has got you tied up.
Yeah.
Two TVs, one earbud plugged into each.
Well, it should be a fun Monday morning regardless. We'll talk to you at 10 a.m. then with all your Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, and anything else that happens in the world of Pittsburgh sports reaction. All our playoff coverage here on Trib Live Radio brought to you by Goodrich & Geist, pursuing justice for real people, online at goodrichandgeist.com. Trib Live Radio brought to you by the Team Spanos Group of Raymond James, the face of financial guidance in Pittsburgh, here in the Giovanni's Pizza Hour. Coming up, an hour of hockey talk. Jonathan Bomboli in studio, along with Bill West.
Hey, real quick
for the moderation.
Yep. Real quick on that before we go here. Two guys, Brandon Saad and John Gibson, named to the NHL All-Star team. They are only the second and third players from the state of Pennsylvania to make the All-Star game. Who is the other?
It's from Philly? From
closer to Philly, yes, closer to Philly.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Mike Richter.
Wow.
Abington, PA.
Ah.
So congratulations to those kids, two Pittsburgh kids, to make it. And now that's one in front of Philly, so we win.
Penguins Cup over the Flyers Cup. We win again. Pens Roundtable's next.
Game faces every day at Goodrich & Geist, pursuing justice for real people. Online at goodrichandgeist.com. Injured? Do you have a case? Call Goodrich & Geist at 412-766-1455. Goodrich & Geist, located at 3634 California Avenue in Pittsburgh's North Side. Goodrich & Geist, attorneys at law, online at goodrichandgeist.com. All playoff coverage brought to you by Goodrich & Geist, investing in the community with roots in Pittsburgh.
$5 for breakfast, $10 for lunch, $15 for dinner. You're eating, but you're not eating gourmet food for those prices. If you work for 30 years and then are retired for 30 years, you're going to need $10,900 a year just to eat at those prices. That's not factoring in inflation or taxes. That would be $327,000 just to eat in your retirement years without inflation, and another $327,000 to feed your spouse or significant other. In other words, if you're now questioning if you've saved enough to eat in retirement, call the financial advisors of the Spanos Group of Raymond James, 866-916-RETIRE, to develop a written financial goal plan tailored to your resources and financial goals. Spanos Group, Pittsburgh Magazine's face of financial guidance. That number again, 866-916-RETIRE. Raymond James & Associates, Inc., member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC.